Good morning. This is Doug Nelson, president of the Massage Therapy Foundation, and it's my pleasure to welcome Sharon Marden-Johnson, who is someone who was instrumental in helping me to understand all the roles of the Massage Therapy Foundation. And it's just a pleasure to have you with me this morning, Sharon. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to have you there.
So Sharon, tell me a little bit about your beginnings with the foundation, how you became involved and how you knew about it, all those, what was the beginning like?
Well, I had been asked to run for a seat on the board of the American Massage Therapy Association. And I ran as a member at large and was in, I think, my first meeting as on that board. And the subject of what are we going to do with the foundation came up. And there was a lot of awkwardness around it because this foundation had been established and incorporated on paper, but nobody really knew what to do about it. And so I raised my hand and said, well, what does the foundation need? Bingo, I was assigned to be the chair of a committee to figure out what the foundation needed. So that's how I was introduced to the concept. All I knew at the time was that was what the mission statement said, and that the board of directors of the foundation was the board of directors of the association. Mm-hmm. So our work began with how would we think about the foundation becoming its own entity? And we went from there.
Wow. And what year was that, Sharon?
That was, the foundation was established in, I think, 1990, but this was somewhere in the late 90s, maybe 1996. Uh-huh. So it was a learning experience for all of us on the committee, figuring out how foundations establish their bylaws, their rules of engagement, and how they go about accomplishing a mission. We had some really great highfalutin ideas in those days. Aww.
And so it must have been pretty interesting, you know, because you're laying the groundwork for all of this and deciding where things are going to go and how that's going to happen. That must have been some really interesting discussions along the way.
Yeah, fascinating, because as it turns out, nobody really knew what they thought a foundation should do. And so that took a lot of really great conversation, mostly when we were all at other meetings like conventions or conferences, sitting in hotel rooms until midnight.
Yeah.
You know, there were the two sides of the mission that we always had a back and forth about were, on the one hand, the research piece, and on the other, the charitable work. The education part always seemed pretty organically to be able to sidle up with either one of those. But there were people who very strongly felt that the primary purpose of the foundation was for us to be out doing charitable work. The research piece was a piece that was seen very clearly by a very few people in the early years, but grew.
Interesting.
As we came to understand more that, as a bottom line, we really wanted to be able to direct the research rather than have the research directed for us.
That is so interesting, Sharon. I think a lot of us, including me, would have thought that the research was the big focus and the charitable side of it, in a way, would come second. That's really interesting.
I didn't know that. A couple people who were among the original founders who very strongly held the torch for us not to forget about the charitable work, the philanthropic work. So,
yeah.
But again, the research has strode along and really earned its way and made itself understood to more and more people. So it's great. I'm fascinated by and really encouraged by the fact that both have been able to find a place to thrive.
Yeah. And over the years, Sharon, have you seen, has that original vision, has it continued along that line, or has it morphed in any way that maybe some of you who were involved in the conception didn't expect?
I think we didn't expect that we would need to take baby steps, and that we would need to figure out the work in much more smaller increments than we thought. I think in the early days, we really thought we would call up our massage therapy clients who had a lot of money, and they would be really happy to give us all kinds of money to do research with. But to answer the question of the foundation board and leadership has been so true to the mission. All along, we've had volunteers who have understood and lived by the mission being for our work to be true to the mission. I think I'm surprised, frankly, by how much research has been done and how much we've been able to accomplish with a very, very small budget. But I think by and large, we've done well.
And over the years, so how do you see this clarification of the role of the foundation as being different than some, like other organizations in the field? We have several. Where do you feel like the foundation's niche is?
I think that the very thing that makes the foundation so special and its work effective is that we have always been politically neutral. There are organizations that serve massage therapists. There are organizations that serve educational institutions, organizations that promote affiliations with other professions. But we really are the only entity that serves the work. We are not about helping members make more money, even though that may be an indirect result of the work we do. We're not about anything other than understanding the work, and this is my the piece that means a lot to me, preserving the work, that which is special about massage therapy. We can learn about quantifying, we can understand the smaller mechanisms that bring about the results that we get, but there is something lovely about the work that we preserve when we do our research just to understand the work. That makes sense?
Absolutely. I think all of us who are in the field see that there is something that this work is uniquely positioned, that there's something very special about it. Mm-hmm. It's a qualitative thing more than a quantitative mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. I think all of us who are in it, and I would also posit that most of the recipients, clients, would also say mm-hmm. that this, it's unique in that way. And I think we have to find ways to keep that uniqueness while also being in a larger picture.
Sure.
In the same way, you know, as each one of us individually has a uniqueness, you don't want to lose that, but you need to be in relationship with other people mm-hmm. at the same time without losing yourself in the process.
Yeah. So again, I mean, I think part of what makes the foundation volunteers a particularly effective group is that everybody gets that. Yeah. Everybody wants that.
And for people who are volunteers, this is one of the groups that probably will see this video, Sharon. What would you say to them about kind of the culture and perspective of the foundation? Or if you were going to give, if there was a volunteer training, what are the things that you would say to them that they would hold true and dear to them about the foundation itself?
Well, I think that the work atmosphere within committees mm-hmm. And person to person ends up speaking for itself. But what I'd say is that it doesn't matter what kind of advanced educational degree a person has or doesn't have. It doesn't matter what kind of body work a person does or doesn't do. It's all about a love of the work and rolling up sleeves and taking on a project or a conversation on equal ground because it's about the work. It's not about you're a bigwig in the profession and I'm not. It's about massage therapy.
Yeah.
And the other thing about our culture is that it has managed to remain very non-hierarchical, if you will. It's probably not a good word, but
yeah.
It's an even playing field, and it's always been okay for any volunteer to pick up the phone and call the president or email somebody for advice or offer suggestions, and we treat each other with respect that way. I suppose it's sadly a little bit rare these days, but we really do work that way.
I absolutely agree. And if, you know, so that's for volunteer perspective, and I think we've talked about the value of the work for therapists. What about for the public? What would you say the value of the foundation for the general public. What would you say about that?
Well, I think that the foundation can speak to the public with some knowledge about massage therapy in a way that isn't jaded to sell our product in any way or sell our perspective in any way, because essentially we don't have a perspective. We report, we say, this is what we know, but there's a whole lot more we don't know. Or we say, this is what we know, but we're thinking there's more to the story, so we'd like to investigate it. So I think primarily we can be a really good source of information for the public that is understood not to be skewed.
Wow, I love that. That's lovely. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this morning. And this is another example of your perspective is invaluable. And I just want to say thank you for all the work that you have done. It's been a tremendous service over the years, and so many people have benefited. Many people that you will never meet, and we all owe you a great debt.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Thank you.
Yeah. So I will end this morning. However, with the caveat, there are some nuggets inside of this that I might like to explore more fully at another point. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to ask you to do that, because this was rich. There are a whole lot of places where we could dive a little farther if you're willing to do that.
I'll chat with you any day, Doug. Thank you.
All right, good. Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you for all you do.
Yeah, you too, Doug.